You know, often we talk about how they do it in the old days. How do people live in the desert? How long would we last if the air conditionings went off? She said something in that last segment that I figured out how they did it.
Hmm.
Opium pipes.
Yeah. How do you dig thousands of miles of irrigation ditches about 9 to 12 feet wide, approximately 6 foot deep, without a shovel and without a hoe?
Lots of opium, apparently.
A lot of opium pipes, maybe. Maybe that's the key. I don't know.
Oh, well, let's talk about
something. They also had tobacco. Tobacco would be more traditional for the Native Americans. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the other themed gardens that are in the Mission Garden, because you had mentioned the Spanish, and y'all are getting ready to build a Mexican one, and you've got a Future Garden landscape coming up. But there's a lot speaking of opium, there's a medicinal garden, which I trust y'all aren't growing opium in your medicinal garden.
So actually, we haven't planted the formally going to designate as the medicinal garden. That's going to be dedicated to a eminent scholar on Southwest medicinal plants named Michael Moore. His widow is in what's called the Tucson Herbalist Collective, and they are sponsoring. They're going to be sponsoring this garden. So there's. And mainly those are going to be native plants, anything from creosote, everybody knows creosote, that's one of the most important medicinal plants, but also desert lavender and camphor weed, like it calls the Mexican arnica, a lot of plants that we don't consider medicinal or used as medicinals, like even agave, and yucca, and even the mesquite. So that's going to be a garden that's going to be planted soon, and it's going to be contiguous with an area in the Mexican and Chinese gardens that are also going to have their traditional garden.
And Dina, you told me you've only been open since 2012. Y'all are quite ambitious in your plans. I think it's very admirable. And education's a real focus. And I just, for our listeners, our article this week that we post on our website and on our blog is about tricky plants. You know, we have so many people who move here and want plants that from their own hometown to make them feel comfort. Mm-hmm. But I think the charm of this garden you're working on is that it mm-hmm. people can look at your garden and say, these are things that grow well here.
Exactly.
Now, do y'all sell heritage seeds, heirloom seeds? How does that apply other than, I know you have classes. Will you be selling things?
We're mainly an educational institution. And I was going to say that the best thing to do when you want to plant a garden, and especially if you come from a different place, is to look around at your neighbors and kind of see what grows, what works, and what do you like, and so of those things. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been looking in the past and seeing what grows here, what is adapted to this climate, and what really thrives without too much, you know, special care. And so we have an educational propagation program going with the neighborhood schools, elementary and middle schools and high schools. And we also work with interns from the university. And they learn to, for example, propagate the some of the fruit trees that are propagated through vegetative propagation, through cuttings, the figs and the pomegranates, the quince and the grapes. And then they grow those. Excuse me?
Those are all such great topics. I look forward to learning more from you in the future. We'll have to kind of check in with you from time to time and see what's new at the garden.
When is the garden open? Now, this has now been raised up to like the top of my bucket list to get to and see. When can we see it?
So the garden is open to the public on Saturday mornings from 8 to 12 in the hottest period of the year. And in the later, in the colder part, it's from 10 to 2. But also tours can be scheduled at different times by appointment.
Oh, there it is. That's what we'll have to do.
I invite people to look at our website, tucsonsbirthplace.org, and our Facebook page, Friends of Tucson's Birthplace.
Okay, we're going to have to schedule a Rosie on the House tour because we can't ever make it on Saturday.
Right.
So I'm glad she's holding out the option of making a special appointment tour. We will...
We'll tie it around the Saba Home Show because those are the perfect times of year. Yeah. The whole team's in Tucson anyway. We'll go on like a Thursday or a Wednesday.
Yeah, let's see if we can reach out to those of you in Arizona that would also like to see it. And let's put a Rosie on the House tour together.
Now, you've still got another tour.
Meteorite.
Yeah.
At the White Stallion Dude Ranch.
Can we look for meteorites on the property?
You'll have to ask our man Notkin.
Do meteorites one night and then the Tucson's birthplace the next day. So that's missions?
That would be a super Southern Arizona staycation. We could do it as a group of Rosie on the House listeners. That would be a blast.
All right. We'll put it together. That's, again, tucsonsbirthplace.org. And it's the Mission Garden Project. They do accept volunteers if you would like to get involved. They had mentioned the planting, and that's not that's volunteer work that gets done through.
And I tell you what, that is the Santa Cruz River, and you've heard me talk about the book before. If you haven't read it, get a copy of The Dry River by Ken Lamberton. It is a history of the entire length of the Santa Cruz River, and it is very well written. And it covers this area specifically.
Thank you, Dina Carway, Community Outreach Coordinator for Mission Garden.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.